B-Pod Studios.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app today.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Listen live.
I don't buy this for a second.
Podcasts, tweets, and more.
Love it.
Available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Legs?
The ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Kiss my ass twice.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, where you at?
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I absolutely despise Old England and everything about it. God, I hate that part of the country more than life itself.
Welcome to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City for the AFC Championship between the 12-5 New England Patriots and the 13-4 Kansas City Chiefs.
You can take your cane and you can take your chowder.
The lobster rolls are amazing.
You can take everything that you have, your arrogance, your pompous mountains and Maine.
Patriots staffer told me early in the week Brady walked into the facility and said, and I quote, "I am the baddest mother on the planet."
Brady takes the snap. Back three steps. He pumps. He looks long.
You can take it all, and you can all shove it into the Atlantic Ocean.
He throws it down the left side for Dorsett.
Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
Yes. And he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
My God.
Get out, squeak.
Brady takes the snap. Gives to Michelle. Runs it right. First down and more on time. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Oh, as they regain the lead.
It's to balls, man.
Short motion by Allen left with the reset. A give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
And you take 15 plays and you shove it right down their throat.
Well, wait until Sunday night at 9 o'clock when they lose the game to the Chiefs and all the chowder heads are melting down and they're wondering why, we're not going to another Super Bowl. The Chiefs beat us.
Brady takes the snap. Dropping back. Throws it right underneath off the hands of Gronkowski. Intercepted. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. There's Cleet Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my.
Offside. Oh, wow. Line into the neutral zone. The 5-yard penalty. We replay third down.
Brady, he's going to turn and give it to Burkett. He runs left behind Devlin. He blows his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. And they've regained the lead with 39 seconds on the clock in this AFC Championship.
I mean, what a run by Burkett. To take the lead.
Kick by Butker. Headed to the uprights. The kick is good. And Butker
clutch.
Sends this game to overtime.
Heads. Heads. Heads.
Matthew Slater.
It is heads.
You want the ball.
In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Adam and open in midfield. Makes the catch. And then lunges forward across the 45. Brady firing down the middle. Caught by Adam and on the run.
Here we go.
In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Brad makes the catch at the 20. And he's tackled. Caught the shoelaces by Berry as he skids to the 15. First down for New England. Second and goal to go from the 2. Allen motions left to right. Then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win. Touchdown. Patriots.
America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Kiss my ass twice.
What was your question?
Just what it means to go back to Super Bowl.
Unbelievable, bro. This is crazy. What a game.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are brought to you this hour by AdCare, 1-800-ALCOHOL. We are in the Georgia World Congress Center for our final day on Radio Row. Not to get your hopes up, but things can get silly on Radio Row.
Yeah, this is the day where weirdness happens. It's like Friday is when everyone seems to show up all at once, so you have to be very wise in who you pick to sit down with you, because you could be like, oh, look, it's Luke Wilson, and Luke Wilson sits down with you, and all of a sudden, Drew Brees,
Joey Lawrence,
all of these mega stars will come by, and you'll be sitting there with, you just agreed to do an interview with Luke Wilson.
We got Brees on Friday in Houston, did we not?
Yeah. And remember, Matt Light was listening, and he called in, and they went back and forth. Yeah, I mean, Friday is hands down the best day. Friday was the day that Tim Tebow was standing behind Fred. And
poor Will Brinson.
In the middle. Will Brinson's a pro. So in the middle of the interview,
he and I were just talking back and forth for 5 minutes.
It was John that was shell-shocked. John was like, oh.
You guys are just going to get up and leave.
So the four of us are sitting here, and we see Tim Tebow standing right behind us. Like, Fred, you need to go over there and break bread with this guy. Let's see what happens. And so Fred and I get up and leave, and all of a sudden Wallach is stuck. You remember the scene in Wayne's World when Garth had to carry the show?
Oh, it wasn't that bad. Come on.
Garth had to carry the show. Stares at the camera and freaks out. That's how Wallach
was. That scene in Scanners. Yes. That's right.
Where your head explodes.
Right.
No. But that's Friday. Friday is when we've had Cam Newton. As I said, J.J. Watt, came by on a Friday. It's an interesting day, and we are starting off with some pretty big guests, as is. Jerry Rice in the show, Steve Smith Sr., and Michael Vick is going to be on sometime around 8 o'clock. That's an 80% on Michael Vick. But from what I heard, he's going to be doing it, and he is the king of Atlanta, man. Everywhere he goes, did you see the line? They were reporting the line just for him to do this meet and greet that was in town. Apparently, it drew something crazy. There were 300 people in line, it's 4 hours before he was even supposed to be there.
There's people in line outside, in the Omni, waiting to get in, but I don't know quite what they're waiting to get in to see.
Well, there's a couple of shows, TV shows in town that are doing live tapings, the Shannon Sharp one. I passed and it says "Speak for yourself," and it's got signs so you can. Remember when we were in Minneapolis? We arrived at the same time as Golic, and it was the queue is here to wait in line for the Golic and Winger, and no one was there.
All I remember is we would have our hotel was about 500 yards from the Mall of America, but we still had to drive the 500 yards because it was 17 below zero when we got out, and so we drove over there, and we couldn't park anywhere near the front door. We were about 100 yards away, and we're braving the cold, and we're suffering something fierce, and we trek all the way to the front door, and our faces are red, and it's freezing, and all of a sudden this big Dodge Caravan pulls up, out pops Golic and Wingo. They walk 10 feet to the front door, and they look at us and, "You guys all right?" No, we're perfect.
Can you imagine anything more boring than being a live studio audience for Golic and Wingo?
Oh, I can't imagine anything more. The hard hitting takes. You come out of there with two black eyes. So last night was the big Beasley spared no expense. They had a big show dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yours truly was vindicated.
You figure.
This time, I was vindicated.
Well, I don't think there was anything to vindicate. I call it the Freddie T turkey timer. There's a certain level.
Yeah.
The blood alcohol level gets to a certain one. The turkey timer goes boop, and it just says time to go.
Heard the bell go off. There's Fred.
It's not quite an Irish goodbye where he just leaves without telling anybody. It's more like this: I'm gone. All right, bye, guys, gotta go. And he just takes off like that. But he warned me. He goes, "The second I take the last bite of this meal, I'm out of here." And we're like, great. And it was perfect.
You lasted a half hour last year. You lasted 2 hours this year. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. When I told Mary before. I said, when I'm done eating, I got to go.
Well, this is why we work for a great company, is that the person who runs the whole place came up to us and said, "Here's the deal. You guys each have to drink at least 4.5 drinks for this open bar to be worth it."
She told me to.
And I'm like, well, if the boss tells me, then, you going to fire me? Let's do this.
All right.
I'm an overachiever.
She told me 10. So you have to drink 10 drinks.
So it was great. It was like we were being encouraged to enjoy ourselves last night.
It was sweet vindication. All the barbs and jabs directed my way for a year. And in I came. I had the garlic chicken. I had a Caesar salad. Every bite. Finney.
Yeah, I pulled a jackass move last night too. So I was, we were talking at the table.
And just two.
There was a bar.
I pulled no jackass.
No, I pulled
sweet
a jackass move.
Vindication.
As I said, there was nothing to vindicate last year. Last year you showed up, and after 30 minutes,
pots and pans.
Oh, cinnamon and gravy. So we were just, I told everyone, I was like, hey, you know what, there's this bar that I know of, you know, let's meet up afterwards. And so I drove, I didn't have much to drink last night because I was driving. So I drove home, Jim Murray, Maz, Felger, and John.
Yep.
And we were heading back to the hotel, and it was about 9:15, I think. And I said, all right, at 10:30, let's meet at this bar.
Except for Wallach, who's lame.
Well, and I said that. I said, Wallach sucks. He's not
going
to go.
I'm not going.
Because he's lame as hell. What kind of loser wouldn't go out to a bar on the final night?
Right.
And so I'm like, all I got to do is just go back to my hotel, drop my stuff off, and I'll take a cab out there so we can actually, you know, enjoy ourselves. So we get back to the hotel, and I'm talking, like, literally the second the door of my hotel room closed behind me, my body just said, F you, Richard Lieber. Yeah, the whole week just got up to me and said, you are not leaving. And so I texted Jim, and I'm like, I suck. I know. I'm not going to go.
I don't know how you could go out at 10:30 at night regardless.
I thought I'd
you
be able to rally.
Sleep.
What's that?
You don't need sleep.
Like, it's weird that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really
weird.
Well,
it was a week of not getting a lot. So, like, that would it just all finally got out to
if
me.
If I went
like,
to a bar at 10:30, I remember when they put the picture of my face because we were like it was, like, early in the morning. We were going on before, you know, before 6 o'clock Eastern time.
Yes.
And they took the picture of my face and put it up against the cat.
You were very angry. Yes, a very angry-looking face. Yes.
That's from Houston. That's right.
That's how I look. I don't need that in my life.
Yeah, that was – I mean, I can do that definitely once a week. I could go out and I could stay out till 12:30 or whatever and come back and rally and be good. Twice is a little tougher. There's no way I could do that three times. And that would have been night number three, and I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so, Wallach, I apologize profusely. You still are lame, but not because of that.
All right. Well, thanks.
Okay. I'm starting to think that now the gap is fixed, that John looks a little bit more like a turtle.
We've got bird to turtle?
Because of the hair? Is that the reason?
He's the
birdle. Smooth?
Put your head halfway through your
come on.
Thing.
Come on.
Stick out your tongue slowly and pretend you're trying to eat a
move real slow.
Yeah. I think now he's a turtle.
It's the bird turtle. The
bird. No more bird.
Just the turtle.
Okay. He thinks he's such a hot shot with
who's
those
the,
teeth.
Is he's Franklin? Should we just call him Franklin?
He's a turtle. Turtle.
Oh, our listeners are such good Photoshoppers. I'm not putting anything out there to the universe that we can Photoshop, but I mean, my God.
Yesterday I decided that. I was looking at John, I go, hey, he's a big shot with those teeth fixed. He looks like a turtle. All right, what are we going to talk about, Reg?
Oh, well, let's get to some of the action involving the Bruins last night. Cassidy is pissed.
Should be.
I haven't heard him this angry. And he called out a star player on the team, and I mean, you lose that many games, what, five out of six?
Losing to that team at home, and you kick away a 2-1 lead in the third, there's no excuse for
also,
that.
The latest on Kyrie Irving and all the Anthony Davis drama, boy, the NBA, never boring.
No, the NBA is leading the news leading into the Super Bowl. We'll be right back.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Dutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Dutcher and Rich.
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Pats fans, if you're headed to Atlanta, join us Saturday afternoon, the Sports Hub. Super Saturday parties at Hudson Grill in Midtown. Nice part of Atlanta at 942 Peachtree Street. Hardy and Jim Murray will be live from 2 to 6. Felger Maz, Zoe Beetle, Bob Sosi, and special guest appearances. If you're getting ready for the big game, Saturday, 2 to 6 at Hudson Grill, Midtown Atlanta location, presented by Bud Light. Official beer sponsor of the Patriots.
I talked to somebody who went by there yesterday. Said the location is fantastic. Like it's a great place
for
the rally.
A good place to go.
Absolutely. Well, the Bruins drop another one, and Bruce Cassidy's had enough. Clip.
Now it's dished to the right circle. Sanheim. He'll walk it back to the high slot. To the left circle. Shoots. He scores. Shelf with Rass down. He picked his spot. A power play goal with 2 seconds left on the minor to Brad Marchand. And the Philadelphia Flyers record a 3-2 overtime victory over the Boston Bruins.
Listen to that crowd, man. Defensive breakdowns lead to what ends up being the Bruins' third straight loss and the fifth defeat in their last six games overall as the Bees drop another one to the Flyers, 3-2 in overtime. That's the first time the Bruins have lost three straight in regulation or OT at the Garden since December of 2016. This was also another game that the Bruins started off ahead and ended up blowing a lead, which seems to be a pattern. But you got David Pastrnak getting on the board early, but a poor shot on net by Charlie McAvoy turned into a Claude Giroux breakaway with just seconds left in the first clip.
Near point now, McAvoy keeps it in to the right circle, fires, and he missed it short side.
Yeah, had a screen set up in front.
Breakaway chance into the slot. Head fake, they score. Claude Giroux ties the game as he got behind the Bruins defense. And with 43 seconds left in the first, to 1-1 game.
Yep, and of course it was Pasta who once again scored to put the Bees ahead. That lead would be short-lived with finally Boston falling in OT. So with as poor as the team has been playing as of late, yesterday was the day that it seemed Bruce Cassidy had seen enough. So much that he called out his defense, including the captain by name. Clip.
He's the captain of the hockey club, so that message has to come. He won a Stanley Cup here by being a defensive stalwart, one of the best penalty killers in the league. So, yes, he's part of that group and the biggest part of it. He's a terrific leader. The next game, he understands what makes us successful. We'll have a conversation about it, but he is the leader back there. He's got to get Charlie to buy in, got to get Carlo, he has, you know, and that's got to continue. We've got to get back. Kevin Miller, I'll put him in that group too. They have to lead back there and understand what it takes to be successful right now for us.
By the way, I love Bruce Cassidy. And the fact that he does that and calls out Chara, who, by the way, was on the ice for two of the Flyers' three goals.
Yeah, and well, in fairness, the Flyers are really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it me or was that soundbite right there basically Cassidy publicly begging the front office for some help before the trade deadline?
Well, they're not going to go out and get a D-man. I mean, that's not what they're going to do.
But the entire clip, I mean, if you heard entirely what he was saying, is that we're also not scoring enough to be able to have the defense to put, like, playing this way. So, I mean, it was all around. But, and as a matter of fact, if you listen to his entire press conference, it was a scathing, basically saying, like, we have faults everywhere except for that, the Pastrnak line.
Well, take a look at it. First two games out of the break, where's the scoring from coming from? Bergeron scored twice and Pastrnak scored once mm-hmm. the first game out of the break. And then you have Pastrnak scoring both goals last night. We're right back to where we were at the beginning of the season, only the Bruins had injuries to fall back on earlier. They don't have that excuse now. The defense is not good.
Yeah, and if you keep losing, what's the point? I mean, what's the point of adding talent to the team?
That's true. If you have one big trade to make, you're going to make it a forward. You're not going to make it a defenseman.
Well, then hopefully he can that'll solve the other problem, is that maybe we can deal with our deficiencies on defense if we have a second line that could actually score.
They shouldn't have deficiencies on defense.
That's I agree with Fred.
That's where they're. That's
you got the guys
solid.
You thought you were supposed to have. You now have. Fred McAvoy's back and healthy, right? I mean, he's playing every night, right?
Yep.
I mean, this is it right here. These are the six you're supposed to go with.
And it's not.
And how you feeling?
Losing to the Flyers at home, and especially blowing a 2-1 lead the third period, not feeling all that good.
And by the way, it's not like the rest of the division's on fire. I mean, you had a chance here. If you played 500, to have a couple point lead over the next team behind you.
Yeah, Toronto has gone through injuries. I mean, they have not been playing well. I mean, Montreal is what they are. They're up, they're down. I mean, this is a chance for the Bruins to really make a move, and they are 1-2-3 in their last six games.
And if they don't put together a couple wins, then you can make the debate, do you sell?
Yeah, you're a wild card team right now.
Yeah, and do I trade away my future to, you know, add pieces to a team that's just not playing well?
Especially with Tampa Bay looking as good as they do.
Well, I mean, that was always going to be the case. We knew Tampa was good last year.
And you've seen teams, you know, in that put 8-1, you know, I mean, there's been 8 seeds that won cups. I mean, that happens. But I'm not making a crazy move and giving up a bunch of picks and talent if I feel that, you know, my team's going to squeak into the playoffs.
That's the thing. Toronto addressed a deficiency. I'm not saying Jake Muzzin is a Norris Trophy winner, but he's certainly an upgrade over what they had on defense. And they had to trade two prospects and a first-rounder just to get him. And he's, you know, a second-line D guy, if I am correct about this.
You know more than me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just reading about it. Muzzin's a good player, but he's not a top two guy. And they had, I think, to give up a first and two prospects for him.
So imagine if you're trying to get someone to play alongside Krejci.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, and do I make that move? If I have no confidence in this team, do I make that move? I mean, they're in a bad position in that. I mean, you're only going to have Bergeron and Marchand for so long. I don't care about Chara. But, I mean, your D is going to be fine. And your goaltending should be fine. But do I give up a bunch just to keep, you know, because Bergeron and Marchand are great players, but they're getting up there. I don't know. They're in a weird situation because you don't want to waste the prime of those guys, but you also, I mean, what are you going to do? I don't know.
Well,
no one's stepping up either. None of those young kids are stepping up.
And the goaltending doesn't look nearly as good as it did last month. I mean, Yaroslav Halak has turned back into a Yaroslav Halak.
Halak makes me look stupid for even suggesting that he should carry this team.
And he has not been good the last four or five starts.
And you got to give Rask a break because of, you know, what he's coming off.
He had 38 saves last night.
No, I know. I'm saying, though, if he has a down game, I'm not going to start crapping on him.
Well, the bad news is that it doesn't get much easier for the Bruins because they now travel to Washington to take on these seemingly unbeatable Capitals.
So they'll lose again.
Yeah, a team that they haven't defeated since 2014.
Maybe they'll rest Holtby. They'll just stay here.
I think Family Matters was still on TV last time with the Capitals lost to the Bruins.
No, it wasn't.
Maybe it was like a Fuller Family Matters.
Oh, my God.
The Netflix special.
Okay, so yesterday afternoon, CMT Country Music Television's playing Home Improvement. They had a woman come out and play the saw, and I knew what song she was going to play.
Oh.
And I knew that Al was going to cry.
So you have seen Family or Home Improvement so many times in its entirety that you called it out. How many times do you think you've seen the entire series of Home Improvement? Twice? Do you think you've seen every episode twice?
I've seen some episodes probably five times.
Oh, my God. Is that because you go back and find those episodes? One that, meant a lot to you?
No.
Like very special episodes?
Yeah, the one where they thought that the little guy,
mm-hmm.
they thought he was sick, so Tim took him to the arcade to get his mind off of it, and finally the kid grabbed him and said, "I could be sick." I could be sick.
Well, I can't even understand the concept or plot of that.
And then also the one where Tim's wife had to get a hysterectomy.
I do remember that one. And I didn't even watch that show, but for some reason I knew about that one.
Because it was powerful.
Yeah.
And it took over the news.
It did. People were debating it.
Because I was like on the iPad, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God.
You know what?
They're bringing out the lady with the saw, and I know what song she's going to play.
This is astounding. With the internet and with all of these streaming services, you can literally watch anything from, years upon years. Since the television was invented, you could access all of that.
Lockhart
and somehow
knows.
The universe brought you to the country music television station to watch
a
30-year-old Home Improvement episode where a woman plays a saw.
By the way, Lockhart knows it, too, and I know and he knows it was his favorite song.
What was the song that made her cry? I got to know.
Green Sleeves.
Green Sleeves.
The Christmas song.
All right, okay. So, here's my problem, and I'm getting ready to sue, is that TBS plays Friends 8 episodes in a row, and I hate Friends. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go to The Improvement. I'm going to go see Tim and the gang. And then he drops stuff on his foot, and you're like, "Oh, Tim, will you ever learn?" All right, what's coming up?
All right, let's get to some of this information that came out yesterday about Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, all on the heels of our interview with Danny Ainge yesterday, which was all very strange.
All right, so here are the headlines.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Everybody, recording live from somewhere.
Lord of mercy,
What's up? We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
So yesterday, when we had Danny Ainge on the show.
Oh, sorry. Let me tell you this real quick. Sure. This hour of the Toucher and Rich show is brought to you by iAdCare 1-800-ALCOHOL.
So we had Ainge on the show yesterday. He told us that he would be willing to trade for a player that only had a year left on his contract, who wasn't willing to sign an extension if he truly believed they could help him win a championship. He also believes that once the player was a Celtic, that he could possibly convince them to stay for the long term. Well, even though Ainge didn't use any specific names, it now seems certain that Anthony Davis is that guy. Here is Adrian Wojnarowski on Davis's mindset after requesting the trade. Clip.
Become very clear to teams who are back-channeling, trying to get a sense of Anthony Davis's plans in 2020. They're all getting back the same information, and that's that Davis is focused on signing with the Lakers in free agency in 2020, and if he's traded anywhere else, he's going to treat it like a one-year rental.
Yep, kind of as we all expected, and that's the sole reason he did it before the trade deadline. Now, I guess that Anthony Davis is going to play with the Pelicans before the trade deadline. I think he's coming back for their next game. But on top of that, there was a report that came out yesterday afternoon that Pelicans management finally took Magic Johnson's call after ignoring him for a while, and that the Lakers had given the Pelicans five different offers that were all essentially, quote, you can have anything you want as long as it's not named LeBron James. Players, picks, that creepy Donald Sutherland-looking dude that six nets to Jack Nicholson at the games, it's all yours.
The cowboy hat guy.
The cowboy hat guy. Whatever you want, we will give it to you as long as it's not named LeBron James.
But they have the same problem Milwaukee does, which is anything other than their star player, you can package it up however you want to package it up. It's probably not enough.
Sure. Well, one person who's grossed out by this whole process is Charles Barkley, who thinks that any deal between Anthony Davis and the Lakers should be blocked. Here he is from last night's Inside the NBA clip.
Adam Silver need to block that trade. I don't like what the Lakers are doing. I don't think it's right. I don't
what
think
the Lakers are doing?
Yes, I don't think.
What did they do?
We're collusion. And you know it's collusion.
How's it collusion?
Well, because you know. Listen.
How is
it's
it collusion?
Business. When you share an agent.
It's business. Listen, let me tell you something. Rich Paul got mad at me because I said a month ago, I said, oh, the fix is in. Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. It's before all this rumor started. And he says, Charles, he didn't like me saying the fix was in. The fix has been in. We cannot have players and agents colluding to stack super teams.
I mean, listen, he's right. They colluded. But how are you going to stop that?
Can't.
You can't stop can't that. Stop I mean, there's that. What rule could you make up where an agent of two different players, there can't be some sort of discussion? Because the agent, I mean, if you share the same agent, then why, like, you can't, it's not technically
you
collusion.
Can't stop tampering. You can't do it unless it's blatant.
In response.
That was fairly blatant. I mean, that tampering is pretty blatant. I mean,
so what do you, like, if you're Adam Silver, what black and white thing can you put on paper and show collusion?
You can't. And the only
that's
way
what
to,
I'm saying.
The only way to stop this is to make sure that every player has a different agent, which is not feasible.
You can't do. And also, that's, you know, utterly ridiculous. You can't stop it from happening, but it does suck. And I agree with Charles Barkley.
Maybe in-season demanding of a trade.
Well, he got a fine from that, Fred. Didn't you see?
Yeah,
he got fined $50,000.
Well,
or how about
make it $10 million?
Well, in response to the rumors of Kyrie wanting to leave at the end of the season, which, by the way, Danny Ainge said is as far as he knows, the last he talked to him, he still wants to be here. And blah, blah, blah. But the Boston Globe's Adam Himmelsbach is reporting that those rumors are indeed bogus. He said a league source told him that Irving has given no indication that he will back down from his October proclamation that he's going to re-sign with the Celtics at season end. The source added that Irving could change his mind before July 1st, but added that if he does, it almost certainly would not be to reunite with LeBron James, calling that notion a, quote, joke.
More and more you see this, and now we have the beat writer who covers the Celtics for the Herald and the beat writer who covers the Celtics for the Globe both saying the same thing, like Jackie McMullen saying that this is ridiculous. And more it looks like Anthony Davis's camp put that out there to make New Orleans think, well, we're not going to get that deal from the Celtics because Kyrie Irving's not going to be there. So maybe we should take less of a deal from the Lakers to make sure that we get something for Anthony Davis.
However,
that's what it looks like now.
It seems like there may be one other team banking on the hopes that Kyrie ditches Boston. And because the NBA is bat crap insane, yesterday out of nowhere came a story that Kristaps Porzingis was upset with the direction of the Knicks because, well, who isn't? And what seemed like minutes later, his ass was traded to Dallas.
No, it was minutes later.
It was
literally minutes later traded him.
I bet it was 45 minutes.
Minutes later.
Which says to me that I think that that whole Kristaps Porzingis came in kicking and screaming, saying, I'm upset with this organization demanding a trade, is BS. I think this was done to save face because the Knicks had a deal like this ready to go for a while because they wanted to clear up any kind of cap space so next season they could get two max players.
I don't trust him staying healthy.
Well, I don't either. My opinion of him has changed drastically over the past 2 years. Like 2 years ago, I'm like, this guy's the future. He's going to be a stud. And now look what's happened. But, I mean,
Hold on. I read it differently. I read it as the Knicks had the deal in place. They brought Porzingis in specifically to tell him.
To piss him off.
To piss him off and say, oh, he's upset. And then they just called, you know, Dallas back and went, okay, you're on.
But I think you and I are basically saying the same thing. This is a decision that was made already.
Yes.
And it's now being phrased in order to make them look hell of a lot better.
But that's it. It doesn't. It doesn't make them look a lot better. Knicks fans hate this.
Yep. Well, I mean, yeah, they're pissed. I mean, because to be honest, like other than everyone's like banking on the cap space, but what you actually got back for a guy like Kristaps Porzingis
is nothing.
Is nothing.
No, you got nothing.
You got
Dennis Smith Jr.
Jr. sucks.
He's not as good as he was.
He's had a lot of trouble with Dallas over the last month. They've had a lot of trouble with him.
You want to talk about a guy shooting his way out of town?
Yes.
He
sucks. Then you got the expiring contract for DeAndre Jordan,
who they may buy out. Now Jordan's had a good year, but they're probably going to buy him out. Wesley Matthews is okay.
So the deal is now is that opens the Knicks to sign two max players. New York right now is rumored to be targeting Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and, of course, Kyrie Irving. And the great thing about the Knicks is that there's no possible way they're going to mess this up because they're the Knicks. They'll probably sign Carmelo Anthony to a max contract. I mean, how anyone can look at this if you're a Knicks fan and go, I have faith in James Dolan that they are going to bring Kevin Durant to the New York Knicks.
Yeah. And by the way, we've talked about this before. Kevin Durant's going to get eaten alive if he goes to New York.
Yeah.
The man is incredibly sensitive. The media will jump on him, and by December or January, after signing a max contract, he's going to want to be traded.
Yeah, he's going to demand a trade.
There's no way he survives in New York as the number one guy. Not a chance.
All right. When we come back, we had a very special moment. Yesterday, we had Troy Brown and Tim Brown.
Both right there for the tuck rule.
Other sides of the issue. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
Tutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the GWCC. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich and Troy Brown and Tim Brown are in the Big Y world-class market guest chairs.
Both people here getting to witness firsthand basically the birth of a dynasty.
Right, exactly.
Because the tuck rule game.
Yeah.
All right, so Tim, being on the other side of it, what was your immediate reaction when this tuck rule thing was said?
Well, Teddy Bruschi and I had a conversation in the middle of the field, and we were talking. He said, you know they're going to overturn this. And I said, I know they're trying to find a way to overturn. And it's still the longest reviewed play in the history
It
took 12 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Because they called New York. They weren't supposed to do that, but they called New York and got New York involved, and they had to find a guy.
They were just testing it out, you know, for the future.
It was crazy. So, but he reminded me that the call had been made early in the year versus the Rams. It was a Monday night game. Warner dropped back, and they called the tuck rule.
Was it the same crew?
I don't know if it's the same crew or not. But and when he and I remember watching that game because I thought it was a Bogus called in, but I shook his hand and said good luck because I knew all they needed was a reason.
Yeah.
All they needed was a reason to make this thing happen.
You think they were? So you think that they wanted the Patriots to win that game?
Well, there's no doubt that they didn't want Al Davis to win that game. That's for sure.
You sure about that?
So, but look, I mean, the fact of the matter is this, you know, that, you know, whatever happened in that game, for them to turn it into what they turned it into, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. I mean, you know, because, look, if Tom Brady loses that game, I don't know if Tom Brady is a quarterback for the Patriots the next year.
You might be right.
I think they bring Bledsoe back and say, this guy lost to a West Coast team in a driving snow. I mean, it must be a problem with this guy. So I think they bring in Bledsoe and let him, you know, so who knows what happens. But the fact that didn't happen. But for Tom to turn this into what he has turned it into, I mean, I think it's an amazing story, and I'm happy and proud for it.
Okay, so Tim, what does Gruden do when it's done? Like, I mean, John Gruden's obviously got to be completely BS.
Oh, after that game?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he says something in the locker room that no one caught, I guess, but me, because I went right up to him. He said, they are never going to allow you guys to win here. I went up to him afterwards. After he finished, and I was like, what do you mean by you guys? And 2 days later, he was gone. But what we didn't know was that he had already told Al Davis in November. He gave Al to Thanksgiving to get his contract done. He said, if you don't get it done, I'm going to be out. So I guess he had already made up his mind. He was leaving. And we didn't know that. But he got traded 2 days later to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay, so Mark Davis seems like an interesting fellow. Typical owner. So did you... I'm just laughing, thinking about him. Did you have any, like, interactions with Mark Davis?
Early in my career, you know, when we were in L.A., yes, he was around all the time. But then he sort of disappeared. And
did he get lost?
Went to circus camp.
Right, yeah. I don't know what happened. I mean, there were some rumors about, you know, he had gotten some trouble or something, but he was never around.
So you'd never really associated with him, like, now, like, the last few years?
No, I mean, yeah. My last... 7 years with the Raiders, I probably never even saw it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
I never saw it.
Yeah.
So in L.A., he was on the planes with us. He would go to games. But when we got to Oakland, not so much.
So. Yeah, so I know Al Davis moved the team a few times, mm-hmm. you know, from Oakland to L.A., or Oakland or whatever. And so what's your feelings on them moving the team now to Las Vegas?
Well, look, no one wanted to see them move out of Oakland, right? But the fact of the matter is we got there in 95, man, and they had 22 years to get a stadium built. And they kept pushing it off. And, you know, have you played, when last time you seen the Raiders?
I hadn't been there since like 02.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, you know, we're 18, it was 19, 17 years later. Yeah. And we're, you know, and when I went back there for my Hall of Fame deal, I hadn't been back in a couple of years. And nothing had gotten better. They got sheets, like, you know, when you walk down to the stadium, you know, it's nothing painted. You got sheets hanging down. But it's like they never changed the sheets. They were all ratted, you know. It's like, what the world? And then you playing on a baseball diamond for 9 games. You know, so it's, you know, from that standpoint, man, you know,
you
have to do something better. And for them not to make the effort to do it, I haven't had a conversation with the mayor, you know, 4 or 5 years before this happened. She was like, oh, don't worry, Tim, we're going to get this done. Da, da, da. And nothing ever got done, man. So so you hate to see them move, but this Vegas thing is going to be it's going to be unbelievable, bro.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great deal for the Raiders. The L.A. fans are back in play now because they're closer than they were. So I think it's going to be a great thing overall.
Did Gruden piss off the fan base enough that it turns – because, I mean, starting with Khalil Mack, I mean, that was obviously something that immediately people went nuts. And then you saw what Amari Cooper did the second he got to Dallas, just started lighting it up. Like, what do they think of Gruden? Do they believe he has a plan?
Well, you know, you have to look at it from a realistic point of view. And when it comes to Khalil, he wasn't going to come and play. He wanted to be the highest paid guy. The Raiders couldn't make him the highest paid. They offered him the highest paid contract for a defensive player in February. He turned it down because he knew Aaron Donald was coming up. So he wanted to see what Aaron was going to get. Well, by the time Aaron got his deal, it was late July or something like that. So now the Raiders have spent a little money trying to get other players in. So it's like, Khalil, we can't do that right now, but come on in, and we'll take care of you.
Yeah.
He said, no, make me the highest paid, or I'm not coming in. Well, so what are you doing then?
Yeah.
And then you got somebody knocking on the door and say, I got 2 first-round picks for this guy. And you don't know if you can get him in camp, but now you got 2 first-round picks. What do you do? So, you know, yeah. I mean, the thing to do now is you got to turn those first round picks into players.
Do you have any faith that Gruden can do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, like, I mean, John Gruden hadn't coached in, what,
10 years?
10 years. And they give him a 10-year contract.
Mark Davis
$100 million.
But think about this. Think about this, Rory. Gruden has had the opportunity over the last 10 years to interview every coach he wanted to interview every player he wanted to interview. You know, he knows how these guys are thinking. He knows what the coaches are trying to do. So he has, he has it all categorized.
Yeah. Then why was this year a disaster?
So,
well, because you got to have players.
Even with the players, I mean, you agree with all the decisions he's made so far. The Khalil Mack, the Reggie McKenzie, you know, bringing in Mayock.
Look at, when you go back and look at the Raiders roster from 15 to 17, look how many draft picks on the team now. I think it was like 4 guys.
Yeah.
Draft picks. Mm-hmm. So who's going to get the blame for that? That's going to be Reggie. You know what I mean? So I have complete faith in him. Without this guy, I'm not in the Hall of Fame. You know, so when he came to the Raiders, he said he was going to do, I mean, I couldn't catch a ball inside the 20-yard line. The Raiders would not throw me a ball inside the 20. You know, so when he got there, that was the conversation we had. He said, I'm going to throw you a ball. I said, you're not going to throw it. They're going to fire you. You know, Al Davis don't want me catching touchdowns. That's not why I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here to get the ball down there, but he wants somebody else to do that.
Wait, so Al Davis interfered to that level.
Well, I mean, I went 10 years and never caught a touchdown pass within 20 yards.
So he said, they called him first down Tim Brown.
First down Timmy.
So he said, I have a Hall.
Not touchdown Timmy, first down Timmy.
Did he ever give you a reason? Did you just say, like?
He didn't want me to become a superstar.
Oh, see, that's crazy.
Why?
Because
you already were in college.
Well, but, you know, if I become a superstar, then I'm Jerry Rice and I got to get paid all this money and all this stuff.
So he was Heisman Trophy?
I'm not saying it made sense. I'm just saying that's the reason I was given. But so when Gruden got there, I had 44 touchdowns in 10 years or whatever. I had 45 touchdowns with him in 4 years. So that got me in a position to get to 100 touchdowns to possibly get to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. So
why does Mark Davis dress the way he dresses?
He's trying to be like his dad. You know, his dad did that, wore the same outfit every day. He had 100 different sweatsuits, but he had the same sweatsuit.
I don't normally talk about people, you know. I think it's, but that haircut.
He does it for that because he knows you're going to talk about it. I mean, he actually smiles about it every time somebody says something to him because it's just one of those things, man. You know, somebody.
Lord from Dumb and Dumber haircut.
Everybody has to have their stick, man, and that's his stick, you know.
It's an unfortunate one.
It is.
You could have gone a lot of directions. With the fanny pack and the whole white.
So I will say this about, he had you guys ready to go in that snow game. I think you guys surprised the heck out of us, man.
Yeah. No, like,
you guys coming from the West Coast. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, in a driving snow game. I mean, but our whole deal was, look, they got to live in this. We only got to be here 3 hours. So let's just get in and get out. But, no, man, I mean, we thought that was a game that we were well prepared for. And, we knew that, you know, the Patriots weren't an explosive football team, so we didn't have to score 40 points. And with the weather being the way it was, we knew it was going to come down to a turnover or something of that nature. Let me tell you guys something else that you probably didn't know. If you go back and look at that kick that Vinatieri made, look at our defensive line.
The first one or the second one?
The first one to get to overtime.
Okay, yeah.
Look at our defensive line. Literally, I was in the huddle with our defensive coach, and he told the guys, there's no way he can make this kick.
So don't even
rush.
They
did nothing.
They didn't Well, because
we get a push on that deal, because
we knew he had to drive the kick.
Right.
You know, he couldn't get much air. He had to drive it just because of the conditions. And they didn't put nothing.
Nothing. Nobody put a hand up. Nothing.
We were surprised.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Tim Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it.